The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the Gospels and the first to be written. In fact, in the early church, it was used as a catechesis, a book of instruction for new believers who were preparing to be baptized on Easter Sunday. New believers actually memorized the entire Gospel. Can you believe that? 16 chapters to be memorized. I've occasionally bumped into people who've actually done it, but they are rare, and I'm not in that category. Why did the church have them memorize the Gospel of Mark? Because these new sisters and brothers were becoming part of a gathering of people who follow and live their lives for Jesus, a gathering of people who had heard Jesus say, "Follow me." And that is, in fact, what this gathered community does. They follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, all things are new." So, as one prepared to be baptized into Jesus and become part of the gathered community, they immersed themselves into their new gathered community of Jesus followers' identity. And the way they did this was to internalize the defining story of Jesus. Now, this is still true today. Jesus is still calling out to people and the world, saying, "Follow me." People are still gathering together into Jesus-following communities, and the defining story of these gatherings is still the Jesus story. This is the story we gather around and are to be formed by. In Mark chapter 1, there are several distinct markers of this gathered community. The first marker is it is a community, not a gathering of one. This may sound foolishly simple, but as we live in a highly autonomous culture that idolizes privatized individualism, community for many of us is often a veneer that looks good but has no underlying defining depth. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus begins to gather a community. He begins with Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. This core group would grow to 12 and an expanded core of 72 and even beyond that to several hundred. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, railed against the idea of a privatized, solitary faith. Every Methodist in the early Methodist movement and up through the mid-19th century here in the United States was gathered into a community because following Jesus is a communal journey. Wesley wrote in his journal, quote, "You must find companions or make them. The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion," unquote. It was in small gatherings called classes and bands that relationships were cultivated. A follower of Jesus became known in their group gathering. Here they were encouraged, challenged, nurtured, and held accountable for their life and growth on their Jesus journey. These gatherings lived out the model of Jesus, who gathered a small group around him, and together they lived and did life together. The value and strength of gathering in community is captured in the pithy wisdom statement of Proverbs 27, verse 17, saying, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." I've noted before that one of the qualities of Cornerstone Church is that they really appreciate and emphasize the power of small group gatherings. Can you imagine in coming years throughout the neighborhoods of our West Side, people gathering in small groups in homes, a coffee shop or restaurant on different days and hours of the week? Can you imagine that? And in these gatherings, connections are made. People become known to each other. In these gatherings, there is storytelling and laughter. There is storytelling that leads to tears. There's storytelling that leads to prayer. In these gatherings, there are conversations about Jesus. who we are called to be and how we can live out our Jesus-following faith individually and together in our community. In these gatherings, we are strengthened in our own devotion and worship and in our compassion and pursuit of justice. To gather with Jesus means there are no solitary Christians. We are gathered into and live within a community of Jesus followers. Now, a second marker that we see in Mark chapter 1, a marker of this gathered community, is that they are the repentant community. Now, I've talked before about repentance. It's a word we Westerners don't particularly care for. I remember a cartoon that hung on a seminary professor's door picturing a clearly wealthy woman speaking to her pastor. The caption read, "I'm not much for this repentance thing. How about I give you a check for $500 and my lake house for a weekend, and we'll call it even." Repentance, friends, is not cutting a deal with God, nor is it simply feeling regretful. Repentance is realigning our lives with God and the things of God. Repentance is getting off the throne of my life and allowing Jesus to sit on that throne and actually lead my life in all its nooks and crannies. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus gathers a community within the larger context of his message found in verse 15. Listen to it again. Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Now, let me connect repentance with another word Jesus uses in this story. As he gathers the beginnings of his community, he calls Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John the same way. Jesus says, "Follow me." And in both cases, the response of these four men was this: they followed him. Now, I took four semesters of New Testament Koine Greek almost 40 years ago. So, friends, there is little to nothing that I remember. But for whatever reason, I still remember this word, follow. It's akalutheo. When Jesus uses it, he speaks it in the present imperative tense, which means ongoing, continuous following. It is not compartmentalized to follow me one day per week or for a few hours on that one day per week. It is an invitation and a call to an ongoing journey of following. And this journey will be, among other things, a journey of continual repentance, continual realignment with God and the things of God as I grow in my individual and communal relationship with Jesus and the others who have gathered with and around me. And this, friends, is natural. Continual repentance doesn't mean I'm a constant screw up, I'm a constant failure. It means that as I mature as a follower of Jesus and with the help of others, I discover who God is calling me and us to be, and I realign to that new awareness of calling. I realign to a greater compassion, a larger awareness of justice issues, bigger generosity, broader grace, and an expanded heart for the marginalized, a deeper soul meld with the mind and heart of Jesus, of God. So Jesus gathers a community of followers who are the repentant and repenting. But there's something more here. The word akalutheo also means to assist. Jesus is gathering a community of the repentant who will assist him. But assist in what? The answer is found again in the larger context of his message. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus' message is that the kingdom of God is breaking into our world. Jesus is bringing this kingdom. The kingdom of God is all about the reign and rule of God. So this is what we mean when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're asking that God's will, his reign, will happen as we pray for nations, for people, for circumstances, events, and issues. And we'll see that as soon as Jesus gathers his community, he starts showing what the world looks like when God comes and reigns. And here's the thing. Jesus is not just asking his gathered community of repentant and repenting followers to tag along. Jesus didn't want people to just listen and take notes and believe from a distance. Jesus was inviting people to come close, to join him, and even help assist him with advancing his kingdom. Jesus wanted and wants people to vitally engage with him in showing people and communities and nations what the world and life looks like when God reigns over and in and through people and communities. And just as we'll see in coming weeks, as we trek through Mark's gospel, people see God's reign showing up and they are astonished. They say things like, look what God is doing. They're amazed. They're awed. And they are then drawn to God and God's gathered community. Friends, this is why in the past, the Church of Jesus Christ has built hospitals. God's people embraced the heart of God for broken people. And so they created healing ministries, hospitals. I'm still a newbie to Grand Rapids, but even I know about Mercy Hospital. It has a Christian church background. Some Christian traditions began schools and started colleges and universities. So we have Aquinas College and Calvin University and others right here in Grand Rapids. All of these schools are an expression of God's gathered people seeing the need for developing minds and forming character so that men and women will be and become agents of God's kingdom renewing presence throughout the world in a myriad of vocational practices. God's gathered people have understood that God calls people to vocational ministry. And so these colleges and universities educate and train women and men to serve God and the world within their vocations. Circles of Grand Rapids was started in 2016 by our United Methodist Metro Ministry of Grand Rapids. This is their motto: the way to end poverty is to build community. So you know what they're about. God has a heart for the poor. God calls his gathered people to break chains, be they personal, familial, or systemic, so that people can flourish. There's a church in Ashland, Ohio, called Park Street Brethren Church. Years ago, they started a skilled trade school called Transformation Network, and it's for people who have served time or who are currently in trouble with the law, as we say. The county courts have been so impressed with their results that the courts have been referring people to Transformation Network now for years. Manufacturing businesses are regularly using Transformation Network to hire new employees because they provide quality, well-trained, knowledgeable people who know how to show up for work and get the job done well. The courts and businesses are seeing God's reign breaking into lives, and it's good. It is really good. Transformation Network now has 3 locations in Ohio and 1 in Indiana, and they're still rooted in changing lives for Christ, bringing the reign of God to broken people and setting them free to live and to flourish in the reign of God. And it's amazing. And many have come to Christ through this ministry. This past week, our nation remembered and celebrated Martin Luther King Day. Dr. King's life was a journey of being gathered by Jesus, following Jesus, realigning to Jesus, and assisting Jesus to bear witness to what life looks like when God reigns. Gigi and I watched Calvin University's January series on MLK Day. We listened to Jamar Tisby outline his book, The Color of Compromise, The Truth About the American Church's Complicity in Racism. Oh my! As I listened to him, I began to understand why Jamar had said earlier, if you cannot say amen, then perhaps you can say ouch. Jamar, a fellow gathered follower of Jesus, raises painful, hard-to-hear truths, but he also points to redeemed possibilities of what our nation can look like if the gathered community of Jesus followers allows God to reign, even assists God to reign in our minds, hearts, souls, relationships, and geographical communities. I commend Jamar's book, The Color of Compromise, to you. Friends, our Epiphany series is called Awake. Sisters and brothers, I need to be awake and need to be in a state of always awakening. My eyes can be blind. My mind can be clouded. My priorities can be out of alignment. My relationships with people and stuff can be subpar. I need to awake. I need Jesus to awaken me. I need the community of the gathered to awaken me. And Jesus does this as he calls me and you, just as he did Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. Their lives were awakened as they gathered to be with Jesus and with one another. They awakened as Jesus called them to realign their lives, not just once, but continuously to God and the things of God. They were awakened as they came alongside Jesus and assisted him as he showed people what life can look like when God's mighty and gracious reign comes upon people and communities. I need to awake and be always awakening. Let me ask you, how awake are you to Jesus, his call to follow, his call to repentance, his call to assist in advancing the kingdom of God's reign? Are you bright-eyed, groggy, distracted, asleep? Perhaps today and throughout this new week, you can invite the Holy Spirit to help you hear Jesus say to you, awake, the time is now. The kingdom of God is coming near. Repent and join the gathering of God's people and God's kingdom work. Join me as we pray. Calling God, I confess my ears are stuffed with the wax of other pursuits. My eyes are blinded, my mind clouded by other allegiances. Come, Holy Spirit, and do for me what you alone can do. Convict, call, cleanse, and empower me, us, to follow. Give me companions that we might be like iron sharpening iron as together we come near and assist in advancing your reign. We pray for our Faith United Methodist community as we explore adoptions by Cornerstone. Give to them and us the ability to hear your voice, to see what you're up to, what you are calling us to. Give to us the courage to step out and join you in this new work, just as Andrew and Peter and James and John did, so that your reign might advance in the neighborhoods, homes, and businesses of this West Side community. In Christ's name and for his kingdom's glory and advancement, we pray. Amen.